Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 17 lines from the top, more or less in the middle of Daf Chof Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, which reads Machloikas Tanoim. We'll see a Tanaic disagreement Im Elu Shebeis Din Mekanim Magim Lidei Shtiyah. If those that Beis Din is charged with warning, we had learned in the Mishnah, there are cases where Beis Din moves into the picture instead of the husband. The husband is incapacitated either mentally or physically. And if the wife of that incapacitated husband is seen to be behaving in a questionable fashion, so Beis Din warns. Does their warning, does their kinui, result in her eventual drinking of the sota waters in the Beis HaMikdash? The Tanakhama says no. Rabbi Yossi says that, in fact, if the husband or when the husband becomes physically able, he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash based on the warning of the court. Additionally, I'd like to look at a few psukim before we get into the Gemara itself. These are psukim that have relevance to the section of the Gemara that we'll be seeing very shortly. We're going to be looking at Bamidbar Perek Hei. Let's look at Pasuk Yud Beis first. Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yomarto alehem ish ish ki sish. We're going to take special note of the fact that in this pasuk there is a reference to Ish, a double reference to Ish. And the pasuk is describing a man whose wife goes astray. And we have, of course, do notice the psukim quoted on the side of your marked Gemaras. Also, let us look at psukim Yudalit and Tezvav. The Avar Olav Ruach Kino, the Kine is Esishto, the He Nitma'a. A spirit of jealousy, literally, but it has to do with a, as we've learned early at the beginning of the Masechta, a certain spirit takes hold of the man, and he warns his wife, the He Nitma'a. Avar Olav Ruach Kino, the Kine is Esishto, the He Lo Nitma'a. These expressions will have to be explained later in the Gemara. And finally, Pasuk Tezvav, Vehevi ho'ish es ishto el ha-kayin, Vehevi es korbono oleo, asir su efo kemach su'ur. Lo yitzak olov, shemen v'litin olov, voino ki minchas knos, hu, minchas zikron mazkeres ovoin. So in this pasuk we see Vehevi ho'ish es ishto el ha-kayin, another significant point for our Gemara. Now, we turn to the Gemara itself. V'elu shebeis din v'chule, these are the women that Beis Din has, we'll say, the right, maybe the obligation, the responsibility to warn in the event that she is seen going astray. Tonu rabbonon, ish. Ma tamad lomar ish ish. In Pasuk Yud Beis, we saw the term ish doubled. Why? L'rabois, to include eishes cherish v'eishes shoyte, v'eishes shiamum, the wife of a deaf individual, the wife of a shoita, an imbecile, the wife of a shiamum, another stage of mental incapacity. Number four, v'shalach baylum yisayam, or a woman whose husband went abroad. And number five, v'shoyach chomosh beis asurim, or a woman whose husband is incarcerated, shebeizdin mekanin lohem lepoislon miksubasan. The double expression in the pasuk gives the right to beizdin to issue a warning, and if the women do violate their warning, they will lose their ksuba. Yochol af lashkoison. Does their warning result in the husband, in the a woman being brought to the Beis HaMikdash for the sota ceremony, the drinking of the water? Talmud Lomar, so the Tanakhama says no, based on the pasuk which says Vehevi ho'ish es ishto, a husband brings his wife, and if it's not the husband accompanying the wife to the Beis HaMikdash, so there's no drinking, and as is quite obvious in these cases, the husband is simply not around. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, af lahashkoisa. The Beisdin warning and her subsequent violation does result in her drinking, and you'll ask, well, what about the husband bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash? Ulechshiyetze bailo mesasur, when the husband leaves the imprisonment, yishakena, he will bring her to drink, once again, based on the Beisdin warning. Bemai komifluki, what's the basis of this machlokes? Rabbonon savri, boinon, the kine, the hevi. This is a very terse reference to the psukim that we read already. You noticed it said the kine is ishto, and then right after that it says the hevi is ishto. The one who warns the husband, the one who warns is the one that brings, and we know that the one who brings, the pasuk says the hevi ha'ish. So it's only a case where the bringer of the woman is the one that did the warning, then you have drinking. But if the one who's going to be bringing her, i.e. her husband, is not the one that did the warning, so there's not going to be any drinking. The Rashi says v'kinei v'hevi hamekane lo yishokena, the one who does the warning is the one to give her to drink. The pasuk already said the one who is giving her to drink is the husband. V'kashya b'kinui nami hoksiv es ishto, demashma debailu mekana lo v'lo achir. You might ask, but in the case of the warning, it says also the husband does the warning. How can Beis Din be in the picture at all? To that we answer, ho misrabi me'ish ish. From the double expression, as far as the warning is concerned, so the Beis Din is included. But as far as their warning resulting in the drinking, which is alluded to in the pasuk behavi, that he brings her, then Beis Din is simply not going to be the ones to make her drink, being that the bringer says is expressed explicitly as the husband, and he would have to have been the one to warn her in order for the sota drinking process to take place. The next opinion in the Gemara, though, for Rabbi Yosi Sofer, lo bo'inon v'kinei v'hevi. We don't have that requirement, that the one who did the warning is the one necessarily that does the bringing of the woman for the drinking. So that you could have, Beis Din did the warning, and the husband does the bringing of the woman to the Beis HaMikdash. As you can see, we have a new discussion. The slash mark indicates a new trend of thought. Tonu Rabbonon, Asher Tiste Isha Tachas Isha. This pasuk is here for what purpose? Lahakish Ish LeIsha VeIsha LeIsh. In order to compare the man to the woman and the woman to the man. Lamai Hilchasa. What are we to derive from this comparison? You'll notice that there are several opinions. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. The double underline is one of our series markings, and they indicate deos, different opinions. Lamai hilchasa hukash ish leisha, with regard to what is the comparison made between the man and the woman. Baposuk asher tiste isha tachas isha. In this posuk, by the way, the translation is asher tiste, to go astray, isha, the woman, tachas isha. That word isha with the yud in it is while under the marriage of her husband. technically the word isha with a yud is ish shela, her man, her husband. We've also noted ein echod cholek al chavero. Of these different opinions, one is not arguing with the other. They're all presenting just a different angle or a different aspect of the comparison. So the Gemara, lemai hilchasa, as we read before, for what purpose is there a comparison? Omar of Sheshes, kishem she'im hu suma lo hoya mashke, just like if the husband is blind, there is no drinking, there's no sota ceremony, tichtiv, v'ne'elam me'aynei isha, and it literally is hidden from the eyes of her husband. So he has to have eyes, meaning the sense of sight has to be intact for the sota process to take place. So just like if he is blind, there is no sota process. Kachi im hoiso suma lo hoiso shoiso. Likewise, if she is blind, there is no drinking. Even though the pasuk said his eyes, but we saw in the source the hekish lahakish ish leisha veisha leish, where one is compared to the other. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar, kishem shechigeres vegidemes lo isu shoisa, just like if she were lame or gidemes is arm is cut off, an amputee, there would be no drinking. Dichtiv, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ve'hemid hakoyin esu isha lifnei Hashem v'nosan al kapeha. The pasuk describes the kohen as standing the woman up. She has to have the ability to stand, walk, but and chigeres, that's a type of lameness that would exclude that possibility, and therefore chigeres is excluded. And the pasuk also says that the mincha, the korban, the meal offering, is placed al kapeha, on her hands if she's an amputee, so she doesn't have hands. So just like the pasuk is clearly describing a woman that has the ability to stand and the ability to hold things, thereby excluding a chigeres and a gidemes, kachu im hoyo chiger o gidem lo hoyo mashke. Likewise, if the husband is experiences those deficiencies, there would be no drinking. Mor bravashi omar kishem she'ilemes lo hoyso shoysa, just like a mute woman doesn't drink, doesn't go through the process. Dichtiv, the omra ha'isha amen amen, the woman has to be able to say amen amen, the confirmation of the oath imposed upon her. Kach hu, so to a husband im hoya ilame lo hoya mashke, if he were mute, there would be no drinking. As you can see, that brings us to the end of the fourth perek of Maseches Sota, and now with the aid of the one above, we continue with the fifth perek. Notice the Mishnah here is a very long Mishnah. Basically, all of the Mishnayos of the perek are presented in one long Mishnah here. In other words, when you learn Mishnayos, you'll see that the fifth perek is made up of numerous Mishnayos, just like any average perek. But from time to time, in the Shas, you have Prokim, where all of the Mishnayos of that particular perek are presented right at the beginning of the perek in the Gemara. The Mishnah. Kishem shamayim boikim oisoi, oiso kachamayim boikim oso. Just like the water checks her out, the woman who was warned and violated the warning and went into seclusion and we don't know what happened, so too the water checks him out. The word oso will be the subject of the Gemara's first analysis, starting at the very bottom line of this omid. Who is the oso? It's a case of a pronoun, and those who are familiar with the with our attitude toward pronouns, they are a source of great confusion for many. And in this case, the Mishnah itself uses a pronoun, and we have to define who it is. So just as the water checks her out, it will also check him out. Shinemar uvo'u uvo'u. We look at the Rashi on the top first line of the Rashi in this perek. Shinemar uvo'u uvo'u. The Gemara Meforesh, the Gemara will explain e vov yisera dorish is the drusha here in, focusing on the extra vov and the word uvo o uvo vo yiseri dechsivi binyana, or the fact that the word uvo appears several times, some of them be calling extra yiseri numerous times, extra times. That is the source of including someone else in the water checking. So, once again, is it the repetition of the word, or is it the presence of the vav? Kishem, the Mishnah continues, Kishem shasura labal kach asura laboel, the sota woman, just like she is prohibited in being with her husband, so too she is prohibited to the paramour. Shenemar nitma'a v'nitma'a, divrei Rebbe Akiva. The highlighting of this vav is of significance. The Rashi says nitma v'nitma vav yisera dorish asher tisteh isha tachas isha v'nitma'a. That vav is Rebbe Akiva's basis for including the bo'el, the husband and the boel, the two are prohibited. Omer Yeshua kachoya doresh Zecharia ben Hakatzov, and Rabbi Yeshua tells us that Zecharia ben Hakatzov also darshan the extra vav. Rebbe Omer shnei pomim hamura beparsha nitma v'nitma, the double reference, the repetition of the word is what teaches us echad labal the echad labal, one telling us she's prohibited to her husband, and the other word telling us she's prohibited to the paramour. When we speak about this prohibition, one has to understand that in the case of the sota, let's take the, we'll say the clear case. If you have a woman that was warned not to be in private with another man, and witnesses tell us that she went into privacy, and you have a witness telling us that an actual act of intimacy took place with that other man, so this woman is a sota with the testimony of actual intimacy, so there's no drinking that takes place. So there's, as far as we're concerned, as we learned way back on Daf Beis, she is definitely prohibited to her husband, and she's also prohibited to that paramour. In the event that the husband will divorce her, and he will divorce her, she can't continue living with him, she does not go now to marry the paramour. She's prohibited, as we just said, echad labal v'echad laboel. The diamond that you see here highlights the expression bo bayom, on that very day. Rashi points out that based on the Gemara in Brochus, this is a reference to that day in which Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah took over the leadership, the Nesius, from Rabban Gamliel. The entire story is featured there in Maseches Brochus, Daf Chof Ches. One can look there for the details. But on that day, so several halachas were promulgated. And you can see, just by skimming down, you have Rabbi Akiva appearing in the following the first three diamonds. And the final diamond, you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus telling us a law. In the course of the mission, at the end of the mission, you'll discover that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus, in fact, was a student of Rabbi Akiva. So it seems that you have a representation of Rabbi Akiva from here down to the end of the Mishnah. The points that are mentioned here are not necessarily related to one another. They just happen to be points that he taught on that very day. So you'll see that the first halacha applies to rules concerning Tumah Vitara, and the second one has to do with the cities that were designated for the tribe of Levi, and the cities and the designated areas around them. We'll deal with dimensions, and then a drasha concerning the word lemor in the parsha of Shiras Hayam, and then a drasha concerning Eov and how his what was his connection to the Almighty. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah continues. Bo bayom dorash Rabbi Akiva v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el toichoi kol asher b'soichoi yitma. The pasuk describes earthenware vessels, clay vessels, into whose airspace there was a dead sheretz. Sheretz is there are eight shrotzim that the Torah lists off, eight types of creatures. Imagine one example would be a dead mouse. So one of these different shrotzim that are dangled in the airspace of a kli cheres will impart tumah to the kli cheres. A sheretz, and let me emphasize that the introduction that we're giving now, the explanation we're giving now, my hope is will serve as an introduction for the sugya that we will get to, Amir Tzashem, later, not in today's year, but in the next year, maybe more accurately on Daf Choftes, the topic of Tumas and Taras, where the Pasuk describes the sheretz in the airspace, even though there's no actual contact, the sheretz has the status we call an av hatuma, a primary level tuma. The vessel, the clay vessel, becomes a rishon l'tuma. Rishon, if you translate it, becomes a first level tuma. It's a step down from the av hatuma that is represented by the sheretz. The vessel becomes a rishon, and a loaf of bread, an item, a food item in that kli cheres will become a sheni l'tuma. And the pasuk that we just read, which we'll read again, the kli cheres asheyipol mehem el tocho, a clay vessel into which there descends into its airspace a sheretz, a dead sheretz, kol asher besocho, anything that's in that vessel, we just illustrated with a loaf of bread in that vessel, yitma. The Mishnah goes on to say, eino omer tome elo yitma. It doesn't describe the loaf of bread as becoming defiled. It uses a slightly different word. I would say a proactive word. It says yitma. The yud in that word, on a grammatic level, it describes that which is, we'll say, proactive. L'tamei achirim. That loaf of bread is imparted unto it a level of tuma that it now can be metame, can defile other things. So what level of tuma did that bread reach? We mentioned a second level, a sheni l'tuma. The clay vessel being a rishon, the loaf of bread a sheni, and this loaf of bread can pass tuma on one more level. Limei, this teaches us al kikar sheni. Kikar is the loaf of bread that had been a sheni level. Shemetame es hashlishi. It can impart tuma another level. So that this pasuk is revealing the existence of a third level tuma. Does the pasuk make a distinction between truma and kotshim and hulin, different kinds of food items, different types of sanctifications? No, it doesn't. It just says that the bread, the loaf of bread that was in that vessel, is imparted. There is imparted unto it the power to metame something else. Rashi says, Shemetame es hashlishi, Rashi is more than halfway down, betruma vafilu b'chulin. And that note is very important, vafilu b'chulin, even in the realm of chulin. For many of you who are somewhat familiar with the rules of Tumah and Tahara, this is something you rarely see. When we speak about a third level Tumah, there most often we are referring to Trumah, the tithe given to Kohanim, which has more sanctity. The more sanctity something has, the more sensitive it is to becoming defiled. But here we see a rare reference to a third level Tumah having relevance to chulin, to the mundane, the common food. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Mi yigala ofar me'enecho Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is an expression, we can translate it, but it doesn't have too much meaning on the simple translation level. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at this point is deceased. And Rabbi Yeshua says, who will reveal the dirt or the earth from upon your eyes? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yeshua was a student of Rabbi Zakkai. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so to speak, Shehoyisa Oimer, you used to say, Osid Dor Acher Litaher Kikor Shlishi She'ein Lo Mikro Min HaTorah Shu Tomei. There will be a generation in the future that comes along that will declare a third level as a loaf as not being Tomei. That, once again, Litaher Kikor Shlishi. Why? Because there's no pasuk in the Torah that would indicate that there exists a third level Tumah. V'halo Rabbi Kiva Talmidcha Mevi Lo Mikro Min HaTorah Shu Tomei. Your student brings a pasuk, actually quotes a pasuk indicating that there is a third level Tumah, even in Chulin Shneimar Kol Asher Besocho Yitmah. Anything that's in that clay vessel that became Tomei through the Sheretz, that food item, which we are certain is a second level, is Yitmah, has the power of making something else Tomei. That means you have a scriptural reference to a third level Tumah. So Rabbi Yeshua is, as I say, saying to the spirit of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you used to say that there's going to be a future generation that's going to declare it Tahor, when it's not, when it's that's going to clear it Torah on the grounds that there's no pusuk indicating Tumah, but here is that future generation not agreeing with what you predicted. We continue. Bo Bayom Dorash Rabbi Akiva. The pusuk that is quoted now deals with the cities that were designated to the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi, just for your general knowledge, was not assigned different land masses in the distribution of the land of Israel along with the other tribes. All the other tribes received sections of the land of Israel, land apportionments that in modern terms you would say there's certain large countries that are made up of number of states in them, and the states are well defined subsections of geography that are assigned to each state. Likewise, Lahavdil, the tribes of Israel received subsections of the land of Israel, each tribe with its own land mass. That is true with regard to all the other tribes except for the tribe of Levi. They received, however, cities. The tribe of Levi, just parenthetically, they were designated to be preoccupied with a spiritual, religious type lifestyle, the teachers of Torah for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Hence, they weren't going to be preoccupied with tending to land and agriculture and earthly matters. Each tribe has their own, each section of Klal Yisrael has their own, their own designation. The tribe of Levi was designated to be the teachers of Torah. But they were assigned cities. And in that context, the pasuk says, Umadoisem michutz la'ir es pas kedmo alpayim bo'amo. One pasuk indicates that there is a ring around the city measuring 2,000 amas. That's 2,000 amas beyond the city boundaries. Umikro acher omer mikiru ir v'chutzo elef amos saviv. Other pasuk indicates 1,000 amas. First pasuk said 2,000. This pasuk says 1,000. Efsher lomar elef amo shikvar nemar alpayim amo. You can't say 1,000. The other pasuk says 2,000. Efsher lomar alpayim amo shikvar nemar elef amo. You can't say 2,000 when the other pasuk says 1,000. Hoketzad, how do you resolve these measures? So elef amo equals migrash. 1,000 amos are migrash. Migrash is an area left open without any agriculture, without any construction, an open area. So a belt around the city of 1,000 amos from the edge of the city boundaries outwards was left vacant, or open area. This is, we'll say, it has a city beautification, outcome. Rashi uses the term lenoi ho'ir for the beauty of the city. That when you're approaching a city, it's appealing or attractive to have an open area before you get into the city limits itself. That's mikrash. The alpayim amos sodois ukromim, and 2,000 amos around the cities were for their own agricultural purposes. Sodos, fields, krumim, vineyards. Rashi says, Sodos, krumim, v'alpayim, soviv, nosnu, lalavim, mehem, hinichu, elef, soviv, ho'ir, levigrosh, v'shar, sodos, krumim. So that the 2,000 amo measure actually includes the 1,000 of the migrash. It's not an additional 2,000 amos, but rather there are 2,000 amos around the Levite cities, and of those 2,000 amos, the inner 1,000 is migrash, and the next 1,000 are for fields and vineyards. We continue. Bo bayom, dorash Rabbi Akiva, oz yoshir Moshe v'nei Yisrael es hashira hazos, lashem, vayomru, Lemor. She'ein tamud lomar lemor. The word lemor in this pasuk is not like the word lemor in the rest of the Torah. You find many, many times in the Torah psukim that would say vayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. The word lemor appears in the context of the Almighty speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, whereby something is told to Moshe and he is instructed to go and tell that over to the rest of the Jewish people. That's the general use of the word lemor. But here, it's obviously not the case. Here the pasuk describes Moshe and the people of Israel reciting Shira, the song of the sea, unto the Almighty. And then it says, Vayomru Lemor. They say, then, the word Lemor. So it's not the Almighty issuing an instruction here to have something communicated to someone else. So, Umatamad Lomar Lemor. So the Mishnah asks, so what is the purpose of the word Lemor? Melameid. It teaches us, Shoy Yisrael, Oinin Shiro Achrov Shel Moshe Al Koldovar Vidovar Kekurin Es Halel. It says that the method in which this song of the sea, the Oz Yoshir, was recited was such that Moshe Rabbeinu would say something and the people of Israel would follow suit, would say a response. Now exactly how that's done, that is something that the Gemara will explain, but it was a type of, we'll say for general purpose, type of responsive recitation, responsive reading, responsive recitation. Lekach ne'emar lemor. That's what the word lemor conveys. Rabbi Nechemia oimer kikurin es shma, velo kikurin es halel. Rabbi Nechemia has a different approach, but again, the word lemor reveals a certain way in which they recited that particular song of the sea. Once again, Rashi says that what is meant by kikurin es shma, that the Gemara will explain. So, when reading the Mishnah, we're given two opinions, and each opinion parallels the Song of the Sea and how it was recited, one paralleling it to the way one the way Hallel is recited, and the other paralleling it to the way the Shema is recited. Bo Bayom, Dorash Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanis, Lo Ovad Iyov es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elo Me'ava. The way in which Iyov served the Almighty was through love. Shenemar, and a pasuk is quoted, but before we read the pasuk, one should recognize that the service of the Almighty, the way we worship, the way we relate to the Almighty, some might reach the high level of relating to Him and serving Him, performing His commandments out of a sense of love. And others, which would apply probably to most people, out of a sense of fear. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanis tells us regarding Iyov that he served the Almighty out of a sense of love. Shenemar hein yiktaleni lo ayachel. Roughly translated is that I could even if I were being endangered, yiktaleni is to be killed, unto him I will still pray and hope. An extreme sense of connection to the Almighty, even under the most dire circumstances. Before we can read further, I must point out that when you open up a Tanakh, a complete Tanakh, in which you find, including the book of Iyov, you will find that this word, lo, hein yiktaleni lo ayachel, lamed vav, is in fact the way it's read. Oftentimes in the scriptures, words are printed one way and they're read a different way. So in this particular case, this word, this lamed vav word, is the way it's read. It's not printed though that way. When you write, if you were to write a scroll, just like you write a Torah scroll, you might write a scroll of Iyov. If you were to do that, following the tradition, you would write here Lamed Aleph. Okay, Lamed Aleph means lo, means a negation, no. You have yes and no. The word lo with a vav means unto him. Totally different meanings. The words, to us they may sound the same. It could be that according to certain other, according to the traditional reading that different Jewish communities have, you might be able to actually hear a difference in the pronunciation. For many Jews nowadays, as this recording is being made, you won't hear a difference, but the spelling is different and the meaning is very different. So this pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanis claims is an indicator of Iyov serving the Almighty out of a sense of love, the Mishnah goes on to say, "Vadayana dover shokel." This matter is still in balance. Lo ani mitzape o eini mitzape. What does this pasuk mean? Does it mean lo unto him I look forward, even if I'm being killed, I still look forward to the Almighty. I still have love under the most dire circumstances, or is it a negation, meaning hein yiktaleni, that if I'm being killed, I won't lo in the negation, lamed aleph, which is, as we said before, the way the word appears in the written form, or as I, at that point, I won't look forward to him anymore. So, how do we settle the matter? Because the dover shokel means it's in balance, it could be this way or that way. Talmud Lomar, there's another pasuk, in a different location in Iyov, Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Hey, it says, Ad egvo lo osir tumasi mimeni. Until my death, I will not remove my wholesomeness, my connection, if you will, to the Almighty, Malamed She Me'avo Osa. So this shows us, this should settle the matter, at least as far as this opinion is concerned, that Iyov, in fact, serve the Almighty out of love. Iyov, for those who might not be familiar, is a person that experienced extensive trials and tribulations in his life. In fact, the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Bava Basra describes Iyov as having been put to the test. I refer to the Gemara Bava Basra, but the Gemara there is quoting the Psukim from the beginning of Sefer Iyov that the Almighty was, we'll say, challenged, if so to speak, by the Sultan testing out Iyov's faith and allegiance. So it's an interesting question. How far did Iyov go? How did he manage? How did he hang in there throughout? So let's continue in the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Yoshua, mi yigale ofer meinecho Rabbon Yochanan Zakai, shoyisa dorish kol yomecho shalovar Iyov esamokum elom yira. Who, again, we see this expression we had earlier where Yeshua says, who would only remove the dirt from your eyes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that you used to say all your life that Iyov's service of the Almighty was from a sense of fear. Shenemar ish tom v'yosher yirei elokim v'sor meira. Iyov at the very beginning of the book is described as a man who's yirei elokim, yira, fearing God. Valo Yoshua Talmidcha, this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanas, he who is a student of your student, Lomad or Limeid Shemeava Osa. To the contrary, that Iyov served from a sense of Ava, from a sense of love. Before continuing on in the Gemara, we glance at the side, we have a topic heading, which reads, Mi hu ha'oisoi dekotoni, who is the oso, the pronoun meaning him, that is taught at the beginning of the Mishnah, Shamayim Bokim, that the water checks him out. The double underline under the Mivneh, the structural note, indicates Shlavei Biwur. These are stages in trying to decipher this question. The words that you see double underline Ilema, that's we'll say if you want to say thusly, that's stage one. On the top of Dav Chof Ches, you can skim ahead, you'll see Elo Lioilom. So it's Ilema Elo Lioilom, a very standard Gemara structure. The Gemara Oisoi Leman, who is the one that the is being referred to in the Mishnah, and notice the little arrow to the right-hand side of the text, you can see where the word was cited originally. Who is the Oso that the water is checking out? Ilema Labal, water that the Sota woman drinks in the Beis HaMikdash will be checking out her husband. Baal Mayovit, what did her husband do? Why should he require any checking out? V'chitema, and if you want to suggest, we continue at the top of the Avchov Chesomet Aleph. De'i is bei ovoin badki le mayo. The husband, if he has a sin, specifically, if he had relations with his wife on their way to the Beis HaMikdash, or if you prefer, if he had relations with her after she had been in seclusion with the paramour, which is forbidden. So maybe it means, the Mishnah then means, just like the water checks her out, the water will check him out. Yeah, but ki isbe avon, if he has that sin in him, if he had relations with her, ki isbe avon bedidei, if that sin is within him, mi batki lo maya ledida, would the water be checking her out? The Mishnah says that the water is checking her out, it's going to check him out also. But the water, if he had that sin, the water wouldn't be checking her out. The ha tanya, we have learned, the pasuk says, v'nika ha'ish me'avon v'isha ahi tisa es avona. The drosha is bizman sheish menuka me'avon, when the husband is free of the sin, hamayim boikim es ishto, then the water will be effective in checking her out, in establishing her guilt or innocence. That's when the husband did not sin in having relations with her after she became prohibited. Ein ho'ish menuka me'avon. If the husband, however, is not clean of that sin, if he is guilty of having had intimacy with his wife after she became prohibited to him, ein hamayim bodkim es ishto, then the water is rendered ineffective in checking her out. So, in the Mishnah, when it says the water, just like it checks her out, just like it's effective with regard to the woman, it will be effective with regard to him. Who's the him? V'yalala boel. It's a reference to the paramour, that just like the water, if she was guilty of having actual intimacy with the paramour, she will die, so too he will die. So the Mishnah then would be referring to the boel. If that's the case, listeni, why doesn't the Mishnah just spell out the word boel, kidikatani seifa, as it says in the continuation of the Mishnah, which reads, Kishem Shasura Labal Kach Asura Laboel. Just like she is prohibited to her husband, she's prohibited to the Boel. And the word, so you see that the word Boel appears explicitly. Why then at the second line of the Mishnah do you see the word Oso? And it's referring to the Boel, when on the third line of the Mishnah the word boil appears explicitly. Why not say it there on the second line instead of using the word oso? The Gemara answers, li oilom la boel. In fact, the oso is the boel. V'reisho aidi detona oiso, toni oso. The Mishnah is set up with a linguistic consistency, maintaining parallel expressions. So the Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, which opened up with the use of the word Osa, namely, just like the water checks her out, using a pronoun in the feminine form referring to the woman. So the Mishnah, in maintaining consistency, uses a male pronoun, Osa. As the Mishnah moves on, though, Seifa, the next phrase, the continuation of the Mishnah, Aidi Detona Baal, there the Mishnah uses the term Baal explicitly, the husband. It's not using a pronoun anymore. It's referring to him using a noun, the husband. So too, Tona Boel. It uses the word Boel, maintaining the same style. Baal, Boel. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.